evening is called A New Chapter, and it is based on Psalm 90, the first 12 verses that we read just previously. And so this evening, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, in just a few hours, as a matter of fact, it's about 6.5 hours from now, it will be 2018, if we can stay awake that long. For some of you, I know, bedtime will come sooner than others. But the door for the year 2017 is going to be closed, and their new year, 2018, will be opened. And it'll be a time for us to reflect back this evening, a time to look, and also a time for us to look forward, to think of what is to come in this new year. What shall we make of it, or perhaps what might it make of each and every one of us? And so our psalm tonight starts with the theme of the reflection in these words. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And that word generations means more than just our ancestors, like a father, son, granddaughter, so forth. Rather, it refers to a period of time. We could say, for example, in all ages, or the stages of our life. It refers what I call to the chapters of our lives. And so with this new year coming upon us, this year 2018, we're going to begin, each one of us, a new chapter in our life. Our psalmist, and this psalm this evening, was not written by David, but it was written by Moses. Moses had many chapters in his life. His life started with a chapter of a boy growing up in Pharaoh's house, and then the chapter, Prince of Egypt. And then there was the chapter as an outlaw and an exile. And then the chapter of the plagues and the Exodus. His time with God on Mount Sinai was also another chapter of his life. And then there was that long chapter, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And then in the final chapter, where the children of Israel entered into that promised land, they entered without Moses being with them. And so tonight, we start a new chapter. And what does this psalm have to say to each of us about that? First of all, it tells us that God is God, and we're not. It is God who brought the world to us, and you and me, into existence. He will also be God who brings life to an end, saying, "Return to dust, O Son of Man." For we are created beings, but we exist in time, and time sets boundaries for each one of us. We can move and we can travel, and I know there are several of you that have been traveling this year. Some of you might have even moved. We can be in more than one place, but we cannot be in more than one place at a single time. We cannot be both here as we are, or later wherever we're going to be, there later this evening. Most of the time, we think we're limited by space, by our geography, that we cannot be in two places. But it is time that limits us. Think about this. You and I are the same person we were as a youngster. And while we may still live in the same place, we aren't in the same place at all, are we? We can't be young and old at the same time. Sometimes Virtus and I think we are, as we wander around and work here at Trinity. But we find out that it's a lot easier sometimes to get down than it is for us to get up. And so we can't be young and we can't be old at the same time. And just as we cannot live in yesterday, we cannot live in tomorrow either. We're not only limited to here, but we are limited to the now. But God is God. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God, as Moses writes. Before the world began, God was. He is now, and when the world passes away, God will still be there. And God is God, and we are not. And so, time separates us from ourselves, but sin also separates us from God. Moses knew this, and he saw it, and he lived it. He saw sin separating people from God. When? When he came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. And he found that the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf. And God, being God, did not stand idly by and let things go on. We read that the earth opened up and swallowed many of those Israelites. As Moses writes in verse 11 of this Psalm 90, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" Well, we do. Perhaps we should. God is God, again, and we are not. God is holy, and we are not. And Moses knew that also. He did not enter into the promised land. And many of you know why. Because he did not trust the word of the Lord. And at that time, he struck the rock for water instead of speaking to it as God had asked him or commanded him to do. So what happened? His sin separated him from God, and he was not allowed to enter into the promised land or where his home should have been. And earlier in the chapters of his life, his sin also separated him from where his home was. If you go back and remember the building of the monuments of Pharaoh, and during that time, there was an Egyptian slave driver who had beaten many of the Israelites. And how Moses, first looking to see that no one was watching, what did he do? He killed that Egyptian. And he buried him in sand. But that murder was not quite as secret as Moses thought. And though he covered that body in sand, his sin did not stay covered. In fact, even shortly after that, the Israelites asked him if he were going to kill them as he did the Egyptian. But we know what happened. At this point, Moses had to flee from Egypt. So in this psalm, in verse 8, Moses continues to write, and he goes, "You, O God, have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Secret sins, it says. Not Moses's, but ours. Mine, and yours, and ours. What about our secret sins? What do we do with them? Should we bury them in the sand? But God is God. God is everywhere. Shall we just wait for them to fade away? You've heard the phrase, what? Time heals all wounds, right? At least that's what the world tells us. But that is not so. And we know it too. We know that we have wounds from long ago. Wounds that might still hurt. Or we also think about the wounds that we have caused others, how our actions, maybe long ago, are still hurting others. You know, our secret sins may not be murder like Moses, but they are just as deadly. We all have them. I have them. What does our conscience tell us? What does the Holy Spirit tell us? Perhaps it's a grudge that's been holding on to, keeping us in a place of hurt. It doesn't matter, does it, that it was a long time ago. Rather than time healing all wounds, it can even make things worse for us. And it doesn't fade away from God because he is not bound by time. Old sin is just as new as new sin for our Lord. He has set our iniquities before him and before us, and so that we must confront them in the presence of his life. I don't know how many of you have made resolutions this evening, but the world certainly tells us that maybe we should make a resolution. Let bygones be bygones, or turn over a new leaf, or you can do it, yet we know that it does not work that way. What shall we do then? I'm here to tell you this evening, we need to turn our secret sins over to God. And in a few minutes, we are going to have that opportunity to do just that. For our Lord will come to us. He will come to us in his body and in the blood, bringing you and me once again the forgiveness of those sins. It's here that our past will be washed away. Here in the presence of Christ, who is the light of the world, whose light fills us and overcomes all our darkness and sin. And it will be here this evening that we can start with a clean slate. Not by turning that calendar page, but by his holy and precious blood. In his mercy, he makes us new again. The psalm this evening continues on from verse 12. I know, Jeff, if you have it, verses 13 and 14. In verse 13 and 14, it says, "Have pity on our servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days." What is the Lord saying to us? And what are we saying to the Lord? Lord, have mercy on us. He satisfies our emptiness with his mercy, with his grace, and with his love. Even as every morning is new, we rise to a new day, and we rejoice in him. And the same will be true for us tomorrow, in the year 2018, as we begin. We don't have to wait for the new year, though, because every day that we rise, every day that we live, we can rejoice in him. God is our God. He is a forgiving God. He brought Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage and into that promised land. And he brings us also, you and me, out of this world and its ways and into his forever kingdom. He's not just a mystical God that's up there in the sky, but he is ours. He is our dwelling place for all generations. And so tonight, my dear friends, I encourage us to leave our sin and our past in the past. We close another chapter, close that chapter perhaps of hurt, the way of thinking, the grief, the pain that you might feel. It's not done by wishful thinking, but it is done by our Lord's grace, his love, and his forgiveness. Tonight, when you come to his altar, when you come to that rail, you're going to receive his promise, the great gift for you. And as we start this new year, we have a newness in life that only our Lord can give and bring to us. We don't know what the year 2018 is going to bring. It's a new chapter, and it's the first sentence is being written this evening. But this we do know. Our sins are forgiven. God is God, and he is our God. And daily, in this coming year and in the years to come, he will give us a newness of life. We don't have to just live by the calendar, but we live in our Lord. And when he calls us to our heavenly home, whether it is this year or in the next year or in the years to come, I would leave you with these words. He is our hope for years to come, our shelter while our troubles last, and more importantly, he is our eternal home. In his precious name, we ask it for each and every one of you this evening. May God bless you as this new year begins. In his precious name, amen. And now, Lord, give us wisdom to number our days as your servants, so that we look forward to dwelling with you from everlasting to everlasting. And God's precious people said, amen.